Let's take a moment to pray together ourselves. Heavenly Father, we ask that you might, in your goodness and love, open our eyes so that we can see wonderful things in your holy word for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The 8th of February, 1976. It was a very significant date in my life, although I confess I had to look in the files to find out when it actually was. It was the date of my baptism. It was the date when I was brought to St. Finian's Church in the Craigor Road in Belfast, and I was baptized there in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, by the Reverend James Mahaffey, who later went on to become Bishop of Derry and Raphoe, and who sadly passed away last week. I know that Bishop Mahaffey is fondly remembered by many of us in the diocese, and his funeral took place yesterday. And with Bishop Mahaffey's death, and with the reading this Sunday being about baptism, I've been thinking quite a bit this past week about baptism, reflecting on my own baptism, and I thought a sermon on the subject might be an idea. What was Jesus' baptism all about? And what is our baptism all about? Well, let's start with Jesus' baptism that we read about there in Matthew chapter 3. And of course, the strange thing about it is that it happened at all. Here's John the Baptist with his camel hair clothing and his unusual diet of locusts and wild honey, a wild figure preaching about repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole point of John's baptism was that if someone was sorry for their sins and wanted to change their life, then they could come and be dipped in the River Jordan, and it was a sign of repentance. And then along comes Jesus, the one person in human history who had no need to repent of anything because he was without sin. And John knows it. John stops him and says, "I need to be baptized by you. How is it that you're coming to me?" It all seems back to front. It's like if you went to the doctor, and when you were sat down there in the doctor's surgery, he handed you the stethoscope and said, "Would you mind giving me a checkup now?" And you'd say, No, I came to be checked by you, not the other way around." It's like that with Jesus and John. It seems back to front, and yet Jesus says, "Let it be so for now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness," which means this is the right thing to do. This is necessary to fulfill God's plan. So what was his baptism all about? Well, I think the explanation for it comes if you go back to chapter 1 of Matthew. And remember on Christmas Day, we actually read this passage where it explains two names that the Lord had. He was called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And he was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So think about those two things. God with us. Jesus comes and he comes to be with the sinners. He lines up with that queue of people waiting for baptism and he joins with them. And then think of that name, Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Well, how did Jesus save people from sin? He did it by dying and rising again. And the baptism at the River Jordan points forward to those two things. When he went down into the water, it symbolized his death. When he came up out of the water, it pointed to his resurrection. We are saved from sin by being joined with Christ in his death and resurrection. He's God with us, and he's the one who saves us from our sins. In Romans chapter 6, it says that we were buried with Christ through baptism into death, in order that just as he was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life. So when we believe and trust in Jesus, we go through his baptism, we go through death and resurrection, Becoming a Christian isn't just about turning over a new leaf. It's about receiving a new life. And baptism speaks powerfully of that. Think about when a baby comes to be christened. Think about when an adult is baptized, whichever way it is. We're saying this person has life. They've got the natural life that they've had since they were born. But we want them also to have spiritual life. And the sacrament of baptism speaks of that giving of new life through Jesus Christ. So, what about the meaning of our baptism? Does being baptized automatically give you new life? Is it just as soon as the water touches you, that's it, you're a new person? No. I think we all know from experience that can't be right. We know it from the scriptures as well. We know it from our prayer book. At the back of the prayer book, you find a couple of things that help us with this. You find the articles of religion, which are a summary of our faith, and they say that those who receive baptism rightly get its benefits. They get forgiveness and new life. The church catechism is also in the back of the prayer book. Many of you that were of a certain stage, you learned it before confirmation. We make it very easy now. You only have to learn the Ten Commandments, Lord's Prayer, and the Apostles' Creed. But back in the day, you had to learn the whole thing. And it explains there about baptism that there's an outward part and that there's an inward part. Outwardly, there's water. But the inward reality that comes through faith is that new birth and new life. The key then is faith. Baptism needs to be activated by our response of faith if it's to become real. You know the way a check, you write out a check in your checkbook. I know we don't do it very often anymore, but remember back to the days when you wrote checks, okay? And it's only a piece of paper until somebody takes it to the bank and cashes it in. Or think about your phone. It's a lovely device in your pocket. It's only a lump of plastic and other materials until it's charged and until you put the SIM card in and it's activated, and then you're able to call and receive messages. And baptism needs to be activated. It needs to have a proper response of faith in our hearts. And then those wonderful promises spoken over us when we were probably a little baby come to be a reality in our lives. What are the benefits of baptism? What follows from it? Well, let's look at what followed when the Lord Jesus was baptized. Three amazing things happened. Number one, he was anointed with God's Spirit. It says there that the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and alighted upon him. And when our baptism is activated by faith, we receive the Holy Spirit, and there's a personal connection between us and God. Like Jesus, we're empowered to live a new life of fellowship with God, and the Spirit works in our hearts to produce love and joy and peace and all those other fruit. So baptism, when activated through faith, means the Spirit is active in our lives. So that means that baptism comes to us with a challenge. You've received the outward and visible sign. What about the inward and spiritual experience? Do you know the operation of the Spirit in your own heart and life? Are you aware, like Job in the Old Testament, of an intimate friendship with God? Jesus is anointed with God's Spirit. And then second, after his baptism, he was affirmed as God's Son. A voice came from heaven and said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Now, Jesus was already God's Son, but he's reaffirmed at that moment. He's reminded, and everybody is affirmed in the belief that this is God's unique Son. For us, it's a little bit different, but when we believe and trust in Christ, we become the children of God. We're adopted into his family. Jesus becomes our elder brother, and God becomes our heavenly Father. God says to us, you are my beloved child. And so that means that baptism brings us a comfort. It says you belong in God's family. I found it very moving, actually, this week as I've thought back to my baptism, although I don't remember it, but I can think about it and what it must have been like. And to think that there I was, totally helpless, just a baby, and these wonderful promises were spoken over me. And a wonderful sign of water was applied to me. And then when I was aged about 14 and I came to have a living faith in Christ, those things came true. And I look back on my baptism and say, what a wonderful moment when God's promises were spoken. It said that Martin Luther, the great reformer in the 16th century, at times he struggled with doubt and despair. At times he felt, he wondered if his faith was real at all. And one of the things that he used to do was to think back to his baptism. And sometimes he even used to write on the wall of his room in Latin, baptismus sum, means I am baptized. And he would say, even if the experiences of my life are tossing me about and causing me all sorts of grief, I know that God's promises are still true. I know that I was baptized, and I know that I've received the benefits of it through faith. The sacraments are given, you see, to strengthen our faith. Holy Communion, where the bread and wine are put into our hands to strengthen our faith. Baptism, where water is used to strengthen our faith. Jesus was affirmed as God's Son. And then thirdly, finally, after his baptism, Jesus was appointed as God's servant. Immediately after he's baptized, he's sent. And in chapter 4 of Matthew, he goes out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So his experience of baptism isn't just left at that. It's not just that he's going to have a lovely experience of being with God. No, he's going to be sent out to serve the Lord in the world, to do the work of God. So baptism also for us, it comes with a calling. It's a summons to get up and serve the Lord. It's not only about being adopted into God's family, it's about being enlisted into God's army. In the old baptism service, we used to pray that the child would continue Christ's faithful soldier and servant to their life's end. There's something very similar in the present service as well. But a soldier and servant, that's what you're commissioned to be when you come to Christ. Of course, the warfare that we wage is nothing to do with violence against other people. It's the very opposite. It's about loving people and battling against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Against the evil which is prevalent in the world and sadly lurks in our own hearts also. So our baptism is a call to go out and change the world, and it's a call to look inwards and to change our own lives by the help of the Holy Spirit. So, baptism. There's a lot there, isn't there? I think I probably crammed far too much in there, but there's the meaning of Jesus' baptism and ours. It's dying to sin and rising to new life. It needs to be received by us as we have faith and as we invite the Lord Jesus to come into our hearts and lives. And it leads to a challenge. Do we know God personally? It leads to a comfort, being his beloved child. It leads to a calling to live for him and to fight for him in this world. So I thank God for my baptism. I thank God that James Mahaffey, back over 40 years ago, baptized me. And I hope that you praise God, that you are a baptized person. It's a wonderful privilege to have received that badge of belonging to Christ. And we can celebrate that. We also need to pray that we would have the inward reality of being Spirit-filled and living a life of love and service to others, following in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior. So now, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would make our own baptisms real in our lives. We pray that we may be filled afresh with the Spirit. We pray that we may come to you in faith. We pray that we may go for you and live as your people in this world. We ask it for your name's sake. Amen.